The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Little after 9:30, let us talk to Stacey Solomon, presenter, singer, mother, tidying fanatic, whose career has spanned everything from X Factor to Loose Women and everything in between. And she joins us on the phone now. Good morning, Stacey. Lovely to talk to you.
Morning, Ryan. I've been excited to talk to you.
Likewise. I mean, this, you know, a pandemic is just built for tidying and decluttering, and that's why your book is so timely. I mean, did you need a pandemic to tidy up, or are you a neat freak anyway?
Oh gosh, I think that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions of Tattoo Tidy, is that I'm a constant mess. So every day, obviously, like everyone else, you're just constantly tidying up. So I just thought, oh, this makes it more fun if I do a before and an after picture and tap it. I feel like I've actually done something in the day.
You know, it feels like that. How are you getting on, by the way? You've got a busy house. Introduce us to who's in your world.
Yes. So right now I'm sitting with Zach, Layton and Rex, my three children, and my dog Theo and Peanut, both dogs. Joe is usually here, but he's working today, so he's out of the house. So yeah, it's just us here at the moment.
Okay. Well, that's busy enough to go. And then you've got to talk
to
people.
I'm sorry if it's a bit loud. That's because okay. The baby doesn't understand radio.
But that's Stacey. This is the nature of the modern age. So it's absolutely totally fine. You have about, 4 million followers on Instagram?
Oh, yeah, something like that.
What do they most want from you? What do you do for them, do you think, more than anything else?
Oh, God, I don't think I do anything. I just think they're just a bunch of nice people, and everyone's looking for someone to chat to, including myself. So like half the time I just am like, oh, I need a bit of a break from my family. Who else can I talk to? So I go on Instagram and I think, oh, I've got a nice little community of people to have a little chat with. And that is as simple as that, I think. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Yes, it's all kicking off
taking
now.
Taking a pan away from the baby. I was like, oh, no, this is going to turn into a pan.
How old is the baby?
He is going to be 2 in May.
So he's, oh, he's so 1 and...
1 and 3 quarters.
3 quarters, I was trying to do the sums there.
I've lost track of the months. You know what it's like? For the first 6 months, you remember it, and then you're like, oh, God, I don't know how many months you have now. You're getting old.
It's so true. So he's, that age, there's a lot of curiosity, there's a lot of toddling around, and there's a lot of trouble.
Yeah, exactly. But I wouldn't have it any other way. He's lovely. All the boys are lucky. I've got really amazing children. So yeah, I'm really proud of them.
I love that.
Noisy but amazing.
Of course. I love that in the book you talk about that when you were young and you were a single mom and you had, I think you were 18 when you had Zach, and you know, you lived with your mom and your sister and your brother working on tax credits and so forth. There was a sense that before all this fame and I suppose wealth that goes with it came into your life, you had a real grounding in reality, and that this probably helped inform a little bit of the organising and the lack of waste.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, when I had Zach, it's not that I was tidy in any way, shape or form, but I did have to, like, immediately become organised, because you know what it's like when I was finishing my college A-levels at the time. So he was in the college creche, and then I was working overnight time to pay towards my college stuff. So I would have to arrange childcare. I would get like milk vouchers, which were really, really helpful at the time and really useful because milk was so expensive. And then I would get working tax credits to top up my wages at the fish and chip shop so I could afford like the nappies, everything else. So I just had to make sure and be really vigilant about everything and organise every bit of childcare, every bit of money that was going in and out to make sure I didn't run out by the end of the week. And I think that it just threw me into a reality, because before then I was obviously just a carefree kid who thought I'd never die and I'll never have responsibilities and I'll just live like, you know, a superhero forever.
Yeah.
And then you give birth and then there's somebody relying on you and you just have to, I just really have to like kick myself up the bum basically and get myself in gear. I couldn't be scatty. I couldn't leave Zach on the bus on the way to school. Do you know what I mean? I have to just make sure I remembered everything.
Yeah. And that would have helped, I suspect, like inform who you are now? I mean, you're probably, you know, careful, or you're also mindful of other people who don't have the good things that you do have now.
Yeah, I think there's always, even when I was in that position, there was always people out there struggling even more, in worse off positions, without any family. My biggest privilege is my family. I genuinely feel that without them, I wouldn't have been able to do anything that I've been able to do. They're just the most incredible support network I could ever wish for.
Yes.
And I do appreciate that so many people just don't have that.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I do feel really extremely lucky and privileged all of the time.
I remember watching you on X Factor, and you just felt, it felt watching you that you were like somebody who didn't really, you just kind of came out of the blue. You didn't feel to me polished, and I felt that was very refreshing. You didn't come fully formed. Is there's a compliment in there somewhere, Stacey?
Oh no, don't worry. It's true, 100% true. When I look back at my first audition, there's like stains on my shirt and on my shoes. I had like baby sick on my shoes. I was just really like scruffy and. Yeah. You know what it's like. You just think to yourself, I'll just go for it. You know, what's the worst that can happen? And I remember saying to my mum when I was doing it, oh, mum, if this is it, that'll be fine. Like, this is the most incredible experience on its own. And it really was an incredible experience. And I'm so proud of The X Factor and where I came from. Like, I have the fondest memories. And that would absolutely have been enough for me, like, forever, because I just loved it. The fact that I've been lucky enough to be given other opportunities and do other bits and pieces is just a real, like, gift, like a real bonus. I'm just, I do feel really lucky because there's so many talented people out there, much more talented than me, that deserve the opportunities I've been given. They might not necessarily get them. So.
Of course. And in fact, Maria was saying, would you ask Stacey Solomon, why doesn't she sing as much anymore? I remember hearing her sing. She had a fabulous voice. We don't hear her as much. Are you still singing, or what's happening there?
I love singing, and I do sing like for my own pleasure
home
with the kids. And yeah, I didn't enjoy the pressure of singing, like bringing out an album and being on a record label and having it's a really scary industry and a massive pressure, and I didn't enjoy that commercial side of it. But I love it. I'll still get on the karaoke. I'll still sing and sit with the kids. And sing with the kids.
What's your go-to karaoke sort of number?
What's up?
Oh, right, okay.
I really love that song. Now, you know the one that's like, and I said, hey!
I think to myself, what's going on? That one.
Exactly.
I know that song.
Best
I know.
Song ever.
Four Non-Blondes, I think yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. That's a good song, because actually you could probably get a lot of pent-up whatever out singing that.
It is literally like therapy singing that song. You can just scream it and shout it.
you also won I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here in 2010. And you know, you joined Loose Women. So all of these things lead to, you know, great success and you know, career contentment. You strike me as being somebody who's comfortable in her skin. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, definitely I have moments where I question myself or doubt myself like most people, but I mean, it doesn't get me anywhere. There's one thing I've learned about my negative thoughts or, you know, my doubts. Yeah. They literally serve me no purpose whatsoever.
Well, that's so true.
The best thing I can do is just go, okay, I acknowledge that I feel like that sometimes, but I might as well just go around life being like a shallow how and imagining that everything's lovely.
You know, you like to quote Eleanor Roosevelt saying, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. It's a great quote.
It's one of my favourite quotes ever, because it's so true. There's so many people out there that might say certain things to you, about you, try and make you feel like you're a failure or you're not good enough. And actually, the only person who can make you feel like that is you, by accepting those words and letting those words in. And we have full control most of the time on whether we decide to allow those people to have that kind of power over us.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, you'd be glad to know that they've announced that they're doing a collectible Barbie modelled after Eleanor Roosevelt. So you must get your hands on one of those.
I am glad to know that. I will be getting my hands on one of those.
Let me ask you about in Tap 2 Tidy, your book. The one of the things that got a lot of conversation going in our office when pictures came out where you hang the crisps on hooks.
Yeah.
bags of crisps on hooks. Not hooks, they're little clips.
Yeah, they're little curtain clips on a like a mini curtain rod.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's just a bit of fun for me. I think when you do something that just makes you smile or laugh, and even if it's silly and ridiculous, I just think, go for it. Why the hell not? And when I hang my crisps up, I genuinely, every time I do it after the food shop, I look at it and think, oh, it's like a little cupboard of crisps, like a clothes aisle of crisps, but I can actually eat them.
It's like
edible clothes.
A walk-in crisp robe. Yeah. And you do the same with the shoes, but that's all part of it. Tex wants to know, can you, is your book okay for 12-year-olds?
I don't think it really has an age on it. It's just, basically, I have a very moody baby.
I have to laugh. Those screams are going through my head. I don't know how you're doing it, sitting there talking.
It's a white noise, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Honestly, you're probably so used to it. But it's very human, so keep going. You're doing great. Keep going. Go on.
I think the book's suitable for anyone, if I'm completely honest. It's just a fun sort of book that hopefully people can lose themselves in for a little bit and distract them from the things that might be going on in the world. And yeah, it's like a book of hobbies, a book of crafts and organizing and snacks and just fun silly little things that make me smile, bring me joy. So hopefully they can do the same to somebody else.
Exactly, like hand a frying pan to your child and hope they run out of the kitchen. And
literally.
I like your idea to limit screen time by having Saturday crafternoons. Good word.
Oh, do you know what? Anything to limit screen time. Ryan, all they want to do is be on their PlayStations, especially with the pandemic and then being at home. And you would have thought, having to homeschool on a laptop all day, they would just be sick of the screen, but they're not. God, they can't get enough of it. And sometimes, do you know what? It's all well and good saying let's limit screen time and blah, blah, blah. Yes, we must get into doing other things. Yes. Important, but also I tell you what else is important, giving them the screen sometimes and saying, go for your life, have the screen for as long as you want just so I can have 5 minutes.
I'd say your interpretation of what people recommend and what people actually do is probably more real than anything I've heard.
I think it's a balance. It's all right to go, oh, let's go for a walk, get them off those tellies, but then when you get home, it's all right to go, do you know what, go for it, because I also need time without you. You're always here.
I need some me time. Now, beat it, kid.
Yeah.
Let's go. So a tweet from Brona says, I'm dying laughing here at Stacey's kids running mad in the background around her.
Running mad.
Yeah, could not be more on brand, says the text. Another from Marietta says, I had the pleasure of meeting Stacey a couple of years ago. She's even lovelier in real life. A nice, genuine person. Thank you, Marietta Doran, for that. Stacey, Orla in Cork says, Stacey Solomon is just a breath of fresh air, a kind, lovely soul, and so grounded. She doesn't take things for granted. Like when she talked about getting milk vouchers for her baby when she was a teenage mum, lots of teenagers could take a leaf out of her book. I see a lot of love for you in Ireland, Stacey.
Oh, do you know what? I love coming to Ireland so much. I was so excited to come on your show, and I'm just gutted I don't get to actually come, because I'd love to do like book signings and meet people. And yeah, obviously with
you
the situation, we can't do any of that.
You'll do it in good
Please
time.
God, hopefully in time, we'll get that chance. But I do love coming to Ireland. It's one of my favourite places ever.
Well, you're always welcome here. You know that. I enjoy watching you also with Joe on Celebrity Gogglebox, one of my favourite programmes. Is that fun to do, or do you hate that bit?
It is really fun, but it's a long old record, because you've got to sit there and watch all them shows.
Yeah.
So like you're sort of sitting there and then you forget the cameras are there. So then you just have your normal conversations and think, oh God, I hope they don't cut that in. And they obviously do.
They do.
So you watch it back and you think, oh my God, that is terrible. But no, anything I get to do with Joe is such a, like, I genuinely just love it, because I feel a bit more relaxed when I'm working with him. I feel like he's got my back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Like, nothing can go wrong because Joe's there. That makes sense.
How did you meet Joe?
We met on a we first met in the jungle when I did the show and I came out. Mm. But I don't remember that very much at all. Mm. And then we met again on a show called Virtually Famous, which was just a panel show that we both happened to be on. And he said, oh, you should come out to the jungle and do the after show. And then, lo and behold, they asked me to come out that year. So I did, and yeah, we acted, I don't know, I think we just fell in love with each other, to be honest. He's so funny and silly and kind, and he's such a good dad. And I remember just thinking, while I was spending time with him, like, he's my person. That's my kind of person. He doesn't take himself too seriously, and he really cares about people. He's got, like, the biggest heart, which I just love.
And you got engaged. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Not we did get engaged. I keep forgetting.
A text says, I always remember Stacey having to walk across a line of chairs in very high heels and singing to the audience in X Factor. That must have been so difficult.
That was my Jeopardy in the X Factor. That was... here you go, darling.
Who is this?
This is Rick. And he wants his bottle.
Is that what you just handed him, the bottle?
Yeah, I just gave him the bottle. Now he's resting on my hip as I walk around and try and keep him quiet while I'm on the phone.
You are a very hard-working woman. That's the truth.
Oh, no. Honestly. Every woman's a hard-working woman.
That's true.
So have I, actually.
So let's keep going. Ask Stacey, please, any more clotheslines coming off from lockdown, if lockdown ever ends? Inga wants to know.
Oh, my goodness, yes. So I'm working on Primark Kids again, which I did last year, which I absolutely loved. I got to come to Ireland for that as well, because you've got it's pennies in Ireland.
Yes, well spotted. €5 pennies, yeah.
Yeah. So I got to do the pennies launch in Ireland, which was brilliant. So hopefully, please God, it comes out at the end of this year. So hopefully I'll get to do that again. And then I am working on a women's wear collection for somebody who I'm really excited about, but I can't say much yet.
That's okay. Elizabeth was on to say, that noise of children in the background is the first interview I've heard of a mum really having children. They shout and scream and Stacey keeps talking. I think you've brought a shot of reality into the arm of people listening this morning.
I bet they're like...
No.
I bet they're poor ears.
Very complimentary. Pamela and Sword says, Stacey's like a breath of fresh air. She's real, she's natural, she's in touch with real people. She's a joy. Saw her on The Chase, Loose Women and The X Factor. She's honest and genuine. I love her. She deserves all the good that comes her way. I mean, there's... And on it goes. Listen, I'm going to let you go with the babies and the bottles and the chats, but fair play to you for motoring on through. You're quite the pro, and I'll see you in real life soon, Stacey.
I'm so grateful you had me on. Thank you. Lots of love to you and everyone who's listening.
And to you and yours. Okay, see you soon. Mind yourself. See you soon.
God bless. Bye.
Bye, Rex. Bye, Stacey. There they go in the kitchen of chaos. I love that because that's as real as it ever going to get, you know, in a busy house. That's what it works. I think a lot of people listening in this morning going, yeah, I just heard My World on the radio. Stacey Solomon joining us live this morning. Tap to Tidy is her book. It's online, available from all good bookshops and so on. And fair play to her for keeping it going. Good on her.